I just need to hold his hand. Life is like a mighty sea, so tossed and driven. Billows rise within the heart of every man. Storms so many times will leave the heart with questions, but you don't need to understand, just hold his hand.
I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't ever need to ask the reason why, for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day. I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand.
When my life down here is through and Jesus calls me to my home up there upon the golden shore, I'll look back, review the path that lay before me. Then I won't care to understand anymore.
I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. I don't ever need to ask the reason why,
for I know he'll make a way through the night and through the day.
I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. Yes, I'll look back, review the path that lay before me. Then I won't need to understand anymore.
What a privilege to be a Christian, to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, to know that our hand is in God's hand, and he leads us one step at a time, one day at a time. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions, and I look forward to spending these 30 minutes devotionally with you today. The psalmist said, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." Do you ever do that? Do you ever do that in your own church, in the sanctuary, in a time of worship? You do know it's scriptural, don't you? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. This isn't reserved for any particular group of people. This is reserved for the saints in worship. Whether you be Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Christian Church, Nazarene, or whatever you may be, it is certainly scriptural to lift up not just our hearts, but lift up our hands in the sanctuary. Do that sometime. It may shock those around you, but you're doing what the Bible says. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Oh, dear friends, let's just lift up our hearts today and bless the Lord and worship him.
Bless ye the Lord.
And in case you're wondering where that is found in the Bible, it is Psalm 134. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Well, I enjoy these times that we can spend together in morning devotions. As we stand in the Lord's presence, allowing His Holy Spirit to search our hearts and bring to light everything within our hearts. If there's anything displeasing to God, repent of it. Find forgiveness, cleansing, release, deliverance. In Jesus' name.
My voice wilt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Give ear to my words, O Lord. To the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I sing. My voice wilt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I
It had appeared so easy. The enemy was on the run. The prospects were so good. The future bright with promise. Moses had said, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is who doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Joshua had told them before crossing Jordan, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." 40 years earlier, Caleb and Joshua had told them that God would help them win the victory. And the first city that they encountered, Jericho, easily fell. It had all appeared so easy, but then they learned the hard way that complete victory was guaranteed only as they walked with God. Otherwise, the enemy was too strong for them, and they were no match, regardless of all the promises. No matter what Moses had said, no matter how Joshua had reassured them, it worked only as they walked with God. Because when they came to the next city, Ai, because there was sin in the camp, they fell before their enemies. But today we don't have the Canaanites and Hittites to contend with, but we do have other enemies. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, neither give place to the devil. Anything which hinders you from being productive, loving, believing, holy, a vessel of honor meet for the Master's use. Don't be angry in a sinful manner. Don't lie or steal or give in to corrupt conversation. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't give way to bitterness, unkindness, covetousness, filthiness. Don't be morally unclean. As the Bible says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Or as the Apostle Paul said it, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Jesus cautioned us toward watchfulness. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Yes, it had appeared so easy. It looked like it would just be a cinch to march into the promised land and see all the Canaanites and Hittites subjected overnight. And it may appear so easy for you and me to win the victory and for our faith to conquer the world. But listen, it is only as we keep up our daily walk with Jesus that it works. No matter what profession of faith you have made 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago, it is required that you walk with Jesus today, currently, presently. You can't rest on your laurels. You can't be content with past victories. But today, may I overcome. Today, may my faith be warm and real and genuine. Today, may there be no sin in my heart, nothing separating me from sweet communion and fellowship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we say we love Him, let's live accordingly. Oh, how often it is, and it is sad but true, how often it is that people even coming to church can backslide. They can come every Sunday because they simply go through the motions of worship with lips only, but their heart is not in it. And do you know what? You can go to church week after week, never miss, and backslide right in the midst of all the preaching and singing, unless you get your heart into it. You can't just say it from memory. You can't quote your prayers just from memory. It has to come from the heart. And when you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, you've got to mean it. And if you mean it, your life is going to show it and prove it. If you love me, said Jesus, do what I say. Keep my commandments. If you say, Lord, I love you, let your life ring true to your profession of faith. Act like you love him. Treat other people like you love him. Respond to things around you like you love Jesus. If we say we love him, let's live accordingly.
My Jesus, I love thee, I love thee, I do. My Jesus, I love thee, I love thee, I do. Thy beauty enthralls me, thy love. I love thee.
Do you, dear friend, do you love Jesus? Is he everything to you? Or are you just wrapped up in religion, per se? You're a member of the First Church or wherever, and you're religious, but you're not really in love with Jesus, the lover of your soul. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's not just being religious, and it's not just being morally clean. It's believing in Jesus with all our heart and soul, willing to take up my cross, deny myself, and follow him 100%. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It isn't enough just to get started. We've got to finish up. It's not just beginning, but it's ending. And let us remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I shouldn't want my life to turn out like that of Solomon. King Solomon began so beautifully, but ended so dismally. There at the opening of the story of Solomon, you couldn't ask for a better story. Like in 1 Kings chapter 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon prayed not for long life, not for riches, not for fame, but he prayed for an understanding heart. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave Solomon wisdom and very much understanding and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And there came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. There in the fourth year of his reign, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord. It was magnificent. And it took 7 years to build it. After his prayer of dedication, the fire fell from heaven, and even the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. 7 years it took building the house of the Lord, and then 13 years building his own house. 20 years of building. It was a time of prosperity. The king made gold and silver to be as plentiful as stones in Jerusalem. It was a time of peace. And even the queen of Sheba came from far away with a great company and camels that bore spices and gold in abundance and precious stones to test Solomon with hard questions. And when she saw the food of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her, and she confessed to King Solomon that the half was not told me. And when all of his building was accomplished, God appeared to Solomon the second time, and he said, 'I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever.' But alas, Solomon didn't do it. Solomon did not do it. One of the saddest stories given to us in all the scripture. Even though it began by saying, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father," he did not continue in that love. 1 Kings chapter 11 says, "It came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice, and had commended him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. What a sad story. Well, let's not talk about Solomon right now. Let's talk about you and me. We began well. I remember the day that I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ at the age of 12, and I said yes to God. Oh, I never wanted to be that one who is recording history should ever say that when John Thrasher grew old, his heart wasn't perfect with the Lord his God, but he forsook him. Wouldn't that be sad? After preaching the gospel all these years, after endeavoring to love the Lord and to serve him, because of compromise, because of giving in to worldliness, because of not being on my guard, to lose out with God and to be a castaway, you know, it can happen to any of us. Nobody is exempt. Don't you know that? Nobody is exempt. Whether it be a preacher preaching to hundreds of thousands, or just a little common person trying to live out their ordinary daily Christian life, every one of us have to be on guard. The devil has one purpose for your life, and that is to destroy you and to ruin you. And listen, he never takes a vacation. Never. And as long as you've got breath in your body, you are going to constantly be harassed by the devil. And you must, every moment of every day of your life, resist him in Jesus' name, and keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus, and let the fire keep burning. For ye are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? But I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 10. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the salvation of the soul. We are of those who believe. We're going to walk with God. We're not going to be among those who draw back to perdition. We refuse to be among those whose hearts grow cold and indifferent and become filled with worldliness and the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life, and so that we become unfruitful. But we're going to be among those who believe to the saving of their souls, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We've come this far by faith. Praise God. With his help and grace, we're going to go the rest of the way. Can you say amen? Amen, amen.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his hope. Yet. Oh, 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 we can't turn back. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Seem impossible.
him for the victories he has won. Oh, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us yet.
Say amen. Why don't we just pray together, wherever you may be? I think one of the secrets of ending our life's journey victoriously and not backsliding and growing cold and indifferent, I think one of the secrets is staying renewed every day. Every day letting the fire of heaven be rekindled in our hearts and keeping the heart clean and pure. Emptied of anything that is unloving or impure or anything that's against the Spirit of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we do pray today that you would touch our hearts and lives in a special way. May we be renewed in our faith. May the fire be rekindled. May there be no sin unrepentant in our hearts. Forgive us our sins, wash us, cleanse us. May there be nothing between our soul and the Savior, and may we run the race set before us patiently and courageously. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I've enjoyed being with you as we've shared together these times of morning devotions. Thanks for listening, and may God's very best be yours during these times. He is worthy, isn't he? Have a good day. God bless you abundantly.